kids these days, they're just not taking the same risks as their parents did. Unless you count the risk of square eyes and blank faces and not being able to judge distance and risk by the time they hit their teens. But what is a safe way to teach a small person to assess danger and expand their independence? There's a new play area in Cairns. Centenary Lakes Nature Play is trying to provide an experience that replicates some of those childhood memories that you might have. Tire swings, wooden seesaws, climbing trees, billy carts. It's a wonder we're alive, isn't it? It's been purpose-built with taking risks in mind. Not billy cart type risks. We'll find out about the specifics from Simon Maher. He's the landscape architect behind it and he joins me now. Hi, Simon.
Hi, Hilary.
Tell us what the play area looks like.
Well, it's part of the Cairns Botanic Gardens precinct. It's adjacent to a man-made lake, which has been there since I was a kid. And it's a well-vegetated space. It's about 4,000 square metres. And it's made up of a whole heap of natural elements, so logs and rocks and water and sand and obviously vegetation. And the idea is to have a whole range of connecting pathways that lead to elements of interest that spark kids' imagination and give them an opportunity to play with non-prescriptive elements that they sort of make their own play.
Is it weird, though, designing with non-standard objects? I mean, rocks and trees don't come in graded sizes, do they?
Absolutely. So the documentation side of things is quite difficult, and there's definitely a lot of on-site during construction changes that need to be made to make it suitable. And we had to work really closely with a playground certifier so that we had it complying with Australian standards.
It's interesting, though, because it's got some bespoke equipment as well, and that's become very boring in recent years, hasn't it? It's basically the same things plonked down in different places. What does it look like at Centenary Lakes?
So instead of having your standard off-the-shelf items where you might have kids climbing a ladder, then they know where their next hand's, where the hand grab's going to be. You've got logs and rocks and things so that kids actually have to think about where they're going to put their hand and think about what they're going to do next. So it's made up of things like cubbies, not a solid structure but a framework of a cubby. So kids have to go and forage through the bush, collect fronds and sticks and logs and build their own cubby house.
Fantastic. I think when a lot of people think about how children play, they assume that they just hurl themselves headlong down the nearest slide or up the nearest ladder. But you're suggesting that there's ways to design for different styles of play and some more thoughtful play as well.
Yeah, so instead of having your traditional fort, we've created a giant mound, which is we call the turkey's nest. At the top, it's got this sculptural element that sort of lends itself to being a nest, and then there's a whole heap of ways of getting up it. So there's a scrambling net, there's rocks, there's logs that are laid against the bank, there's traditional steps for those kids that probably aren't as adventurous, and then there's slides for getting down. So there are some off-the-shelf items, but they're integrated in a way that makes it look natural.
It sounds like texture plays a big part too. You've got ropes and water and sand and rocks and logs and the smooth things that we've come to find familiar in playgrounds. Was that an important element for you?
When I was a kid, play was about foraging at the local beach or damming up a local creek. So we've got a central water element in the playground, and not only does it act as a functional element for drainage because it's quite a flat site, but we also have a hand pump at one end, which is fed by a rainwater tank, and the kids pump the water into the creek, and there's shallow channels cut into the creek so the kids can take rocks and sand and dam up the creek, create their own little puddles to play in.
It sounds like a really creative place and a place that does encourage independence, but it also seems like a relatively short span of time since we were saying let's make really, really safe play areas with kind of rubber matting that bounces underneath the swings and only smooth things so that kids don't get splinters. Why have we started moving a bit more towards some more risky and interesting and textured play spaces?
I think it's because when I was a kid, we were allowed to roam and find those natural spaces. And now kids, because it's a bit more of a risk-averse society, kids be lucky enough to go to the end of their, be allowed to go to the end of the street to play. So bringing nature play to these kids is an opportunity to give those learning experiences that they may have missed out on otherwise, and particularly risk. So it's much better for a child to, you know, get a few cuts and bruises when they're smaller rather than when they're a young adult when the consequences could be much greater. So you're learning those risk assessment skills.
There's still a lot of people who are fairly uneasy about risky play spaces. How did you sell it to the community?
It was actually the council. I was surprised they led the way. So it was their vision. They did a lot of community consultation and the Cairns community really got behind it. So it wasn't going to happen without that support, I don't think. But it's also, as I said, it's assessed against the Australian standard. So there still needs to be soft fall, but instead of rubber matting, it's sand or it's pine bark or natural materials.
How do you know when you've reached the limits of a good amount of risk?
Well, we did actually have to get reined in a little bit by the playground certifier. So one of the elements is a log stack. It looked like a giant, I guess, what you can imagine a fireplace, a giant fireplace, bush fireplace. We actually had five or six logs stacked up there and ended up having to rein that back into two or three. So,
were they worried they would fall down or that snakes might live there?
It's more of a fall risk. So there's certain limitations on how far you can fall before you hit a hard object.
There's a play space outside the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne, and it just freaks me out because there are some very tall things there, but I'm comforted by the idea that there's an emergency department about 200 metres away. It's really interesting to see the different approaches that are being taken. Have you seen any examples overseas that are leading the way as well?
Actually, Australia is probably leading the way, and particularly Western Australia and South Australia. So nature play is not a new concept, but it's been driven quite well over there by nature play organisations. And there's quite a few examples. And more recently in Melbourne, I think at Royal Park is a good example.
I think that's the Children's Hospital one. It's situated within Royal Park, so it's got a lovely natural space as well as a built space, a curated space. Do you think that some of the unease about risky play spaces is about the level of trust that we place in children? We don't seem to think that they're very good at evaluating risk. As a landscape architect, what are your thoughts on that? Because you've seen children play in these spaces.
Well, I think that even at sort of prep age, you see some kids will stand back and they have got a pretty good ability to assess risk. They're quite cautious. Other kids will go like a bull at a gate and get in there, and they're the ones that will probably bruise themselves or get a few scratches.
That's mine.
But that's probably a good thing because, you know, by the time you'd hope they're older, they've developed those risk assessment skills.
I think there's also issues about our trust in ourselves or in other adults. Tell us about the secret pathways and hiding spaces, because I guess a lot of people are used to open plan playgrounds where we can have line of sight to our children at all times, and they might feel that there's a public safety challenge there because if the children can be invisible, then a predator could be invisible too.
Yeah, so the playground's made up of a whole range of twisting pathways. So the idea is to create a sense of mystery, and then at the end of the path there might be a giant friendly python or a giant spider or a fairy garden, which is the case at Centenary Lakes. But we've also made it non-exclusive. So because it's part of the Botanic Gardens precinct and it's essentially a play space, you're just as likely to see adults walking through the space. So it doesn't feel separate to the gardens, it feels part of it. We've also created a whole range of seating elements so parents can wander through and sit and watch their kids at different parts of the play space and not feel like they're playing in the play space.
I myself will be climbing in the play space at the first opportunity. Simon, thank you so much for joining us on Blueprint for Living.
You're welcome.
Simon Maher, Registered Landscape Architect, GDLA AILA, and Simon's been taking us on a tour of Centenary Lakes Nature Play in Cairns Botanic Precinct on RN.